title of our Sunday school lesson is John the Baptist Was Beheaded. And our devotional and background study comes from Matthew 23, verses 34 through 39, and Mark chapter 6, verses 1 through 16. And Matthew 23, 34 through 39 says, Wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them ye shall kill and crucify, and some of them shall ye scourge in your synagogues and persecute them from city to city, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zacharias son of Barachias, whom ye slew between the temple and the altar. Verily I say unto you, all these things shall come upon this generation. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. For I say unto you, ye shall not see me henceforth till ye shall say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. And then in the book of Mark, the 6th chapter, starting with the first verse. And he came out from thence and came into his own country, and his disciples follow him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, From whence has this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and Judah and Simon? Are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. But Jesus said unto them, A prophet is not without honor, but in his own country, and among his own kin, and in his own house. And he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief, and he went around the villages teaching. And he called unto him the 12, and began to send them forth by two and two, and gave them power over unclean spirits, and commanded them that they should take nothing for their journey, save a staff only, no scrip, no bread, no money in their purses, but be shod with sandals, and not put on two coats. And he said unto them, In what place soever ye enter into in a house, there abide till ye depart from that place. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear you, when ye depart thence, shake off the dust under your feet for a testimony against them. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. And they went out and preached that men should repent. And they cast out many devils and anointed with oil many that were sick and healed them. And King Herod heard of him, for his name was spread abroad. And he said that John the Baptist was risen from the dead, and therefore mighty works do show forth themselves in him. Others said, This is Elias. And others said, That it is a prophet, or as one of the prophets. And I may have made some mistakes in the reading there. I hope you were reading along so you know. But with mistakes that was made, that was Matthew 23, verse 34 through 39, and Mark chapter 6, verse 1 through 16. Would anybody have any announcements before we go to our Sunday school? If not, let's go to our Sunday school class. Our lesson text today carries on from what I just read a few minutes ago. It picks up at the 17th verse of the 6th book of Mark, 6th chapter of the book of Mark. And it says, For Herod himself had sent forth and laid hold upon John, and bound him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife, for he had married her. For John had said unto Herod, It is not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife. Therefore Herodias had a quarrel against him and would have killed him, but she could not. For Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just man and a holy, and observed him. And when he heard him, he did many things and heard him gladly. And when a convenient day was come, that Herod on his birthday made a supper to his lords, high captains, and chief estates of Galilee. And when the daughter of the said Herodias came in and danced and pleased Herod and them that sat with him, the king said unto the damsel, Ask of me whatsoever thou wilt, and I will give it thee. And he sware unto her, Whatsoever thou shalt ask of me, I will give it thee unto the half of my kingdom. And she went forth and said unto her mother, What shall I ask? And she said, The head of John the Baptist. And she came in straightway with haste unto the king and asked, saying, I will that thou give me by and by in a charger the head of John the Baptist. And the king was exceeding sorry, yet for his oath's sake and for their sakes which sat with him, he would not reject her. And immediately the king sent an executioner and commanded his head to be brought, and he went and beheaded him in the prison and brought his head in a charger and gave it to the damsel, and the damsel gave it to her mother. And when his disciples heard of it, they came and took up his corpse and laid it in a tomb. Now, I tried to study this, and before I go very far, John has told King Herod that it's not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. And you would think that that's in reference to the fact that, I don't know, even if they, Herodias and Philip, his brothers, Herod's brothers Philip, were divorced or not, or if he just took her from Philip. I'm not sure exactly what the situation was there, but John says it's not lawful for whatever the case. And my Bible referenced me back to the book of Leviticus in the 18th chapter, in the 16th verse says, Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy brother's wife. It is thy brother's nakedness. So you can't have your brother's wife is what it says there, whether divorced or whatever manner, that it was just wrong. And so John is telling Herod this, and but Herod doesn't appear to be too terribly bothered by it. It says here that he feared John in the 20th verse, and that he knowing that he was a just man, in other words, knowing that John was right and a holy man, and he observed him, he watched him, he listened to him, I believe, and he kind of understood some of the things that John was saying, and I don't think he necessarily disagreed with him. He probably realized that he was in the wrong, I think. It says he heard him gladly, so I think Herod had a little bit of respect for John, not a whole lot. He didn't become a follower or a disciple, but I don't think he outright rejected him. The problem was Herodias, his brother Philip's wife. Evidently, it says here that she had a quarrel with him, had a quarrel with John. She outright rejected him. She set her heart and her mind and everything there was in her against John the Baptist. And I believe by inference here that it was against God. She turned and rejected God entirely. From my study and my reading, I don't think that either Herod or Herodias ever repented and turned to God for the salvation of the soul. Now, I don't know, and that's kind of a dangerous thing to say, to speak about somebody, but there's no evidence that I can find that they ever did. And as I studied this, and I kind of contrasted Herod, King Herod, and Philip's wife Herodias, and I kind of wondered if Herod might have done differently if it hadn't been for her. If had she not been there to be a snare unto him, would Herod have heard and repented and turned to God? We will never know that, because that's not the way they did. I think Herod, when he took her to be his wife knew that it was wrong. I believe he knew that even before John the Baptist told him. And yet he did it anyway. And that was very much a snare into him because of this lesson that I just read. It says here in the 26th verse that he was exceeding sorry. He didn't want to behead John the Baptist, but his pride stood in his way. His pride in that he didn't want to lose face with those that sat with him at his birthday party, this party that he had. And let's talk for just a second about that here. You know, John the Baptist had told him, you're doing wrong. And I believe that kind of began to convict him a little bit. I think he realized even before that he took her that it was wrong. And I think that it probably had a bit of an effect upon Herod. And to give you some background here, from what I've read, I believe this Herod is the son of the King Herod that sought to slay Jesus when Jesus was an infant. Now that's, I can't be 100% sure about that, but from the concordance that I read here, it seems like he probably was. It doesn't matter whether he was or not, because the things that he's done here is given to us for an example, no matter who he was. But after that, John has told him these things, and he should have come under conviction. He should have repented. He should have turned to God. But it says in the 21st verse that when a convenient day was come, that Herod was on his birthday, made a supper. In other words, they had a big feast. He had a party here, and they were celebrating. This is in contrast with repentance. This is the exact opposite. To live it up, to enjoy life. That was the route that he took. That was where he went. And this is going to be a snare also to him, because we see here a progression of sin. This sin in taking his brother's wife, of being told that it's wrong, and then just going on and carrying on and just enjoying life and acting like nothing's wrong, nothing's going on. And so he's led with this wrong spirit here. And this daughter that dances, I am assuming was his niece, his brother Philip's daughter. And she dances. I don't know what all that entailed, but it pleased him and all those people that he had invited there. They thought it was a good dance. They enjoyed it. Again, they're enjoying the things of the world and just living in the things of the world and not paying any attention to things of God and the things that are being brought to them by the servant of God. They are rejecting everything about God here. And so in this moment of enjoying life here, he says, ask of me anything thou wilt, and I'll give it to you. He makes a promise to her, and he makes this promise in front of these other people here that are with him, these chief estates of Galilee and the high captains and the lords, that is the prominent politicians of the time and the prominent people of the time. He makes this promise to her, and it's a promise that he's going to regret here in just a few minutes, because she goes to her mother, and I believe that her mother was not a good person at all from the things that are going on here. And her mother sees this opportunity to get rid of this man that's bringing trouble into her life, that's pointing out things that are wrong that she's doing. And she takes this opportunity. She says, go back and tell the king that I want John the Baptist's head in charge of, kill him, put him to death. That's what I want. And the king, it says, was exceeding sorry, yet for his oath's sake, again, he doesn't want to back down. He doesn't want to appear to be a weak person. But this whole text here, to me, shows that he was a very weak man. He was weak in that he took his brother's wife, and he was weak in that he allowed her to control what he did, how that he went about, evidently. So, because of those things, John the Baptist lost his life. He was executed. As I studied this, this really reminds me of Jezebel and Ahab in the Old Testament. I think it was either in 1st or 2nd Kings. And I'm sure y'all all know the story how that Jezebel opposed everything that was right. She had the prophets of God slain, and she had Ahab. Ahab was, I believe he was weak, just like Herod was here. He kind of just went along with what she said, and he turned to her for advice. There are some things that you read about Ahab where it appears that he was almost willing a few times to listen to the prophets. It seemed like he wasn't completely dead set against the prophets, but he wasn't willing to be a strong man and turn against evil. He was kind of wishy-washy. He just went with the flow, it seems like. I think that's kind of what Herod was doing. He just kind of went with the flow here and took the easy route. And Ahab did the same thing. He wanted that garden of, and I forgot whose garden it was that he wanted, but he wanted it, and his wife, and the man wouldn't sell it to him. He wouldn't give it to him. It was an inheritance that the man had. And Jezebel said, "Well, just kill him, just put him to death, and then you'll have that land." And she sent out and had the man killed, and so Ahab got the garden that he wanted. That was just some of the things that she did and he did, and I think it was exactly the same thing that what we have here today in John the Baptist. It was a weak man being influenced by an evil woman. That's what they were. They were evil women, and we could go on and talk about that some, but I'm going to keep it short and say that I think that they were. Evil women were symbolic of a false church and the havoc that the false church wreaks in the world today, that the things that they cause to happen directly opposing the will of God and causing havoc in the true church, the things that occur. I think that's kind of what we have a symbolism here that has occurred. Everything that is right and good, the evil woman, the evil church, the false church opposes because it's led by Satan and it's influenced by Satan, just as this woman here was influenced by Satan, I believe. You know, in the text in our Sunday school book, in the on page 9, the commentary says about King Herod put John in prison to please Herodias, the wife of his brother Philip. And then he goes on to say, years ago, this story seemed so long ago and so far away from our way of life. And today it does not seem so far away. He's speaking about the way that things have changed, the times that we're living in today, how morals have decayed and God's own people have accepted sin in many ways, and nobody wants to hear about it. They don't want to be convicted of sin. They don't want to hear that things are wrong, and it doesn't matter whether they want to or not. God has put forth His word. He said what's right and what's wrong. And whether people want to hear it or not, it's still true. It's still that way, the way that God says it is. And people can deny it, and they can have the messengers killed, but the truth stands. And the right stands, and the wrong is still wrong. It's still sin, no matter what men may say and no matter what men may do, or women for that matter. God's laid it out, and that is the way that it is. And yet, more and more, we see people rejecting that, people turning away from it. So, and that's what that they did here. They turned away from what was right. They refused to hear. Now, that's all that I've got for the Sunday school lesson today. Does anybody have any thoughts or any comments?
John ever back down?
He did not.
See a little bit of fear. There's one point in John where Jesus started asking him, he said, "Are you, please tell me you're the Christ. Please let me know for sure," which he knew. And I think all of us, when we face struggles like that, I can't imagine being in prison. All of us fear, and we just want to make sure we're doing the right thing. The Lord, he said, tell him what you see. And he had been casting out devils and healing people and healing the blind and making the lame walk, raising the dead, saving people everywhere he went. He said, just tell him what you see. Mm-hmm. If that's not the Christ, I don't know who it is. So just gave John the confirmation to just keep waiting, keep holding on, keep trusting in the Lord. I'm thankful that we have men of God that were willing to stand up. And still do, I hope, pray today, stand up for the truth. Not just men of God, but all God's children stand up for the truth.
Yeah, I think John did get weak, but I believe he held on. And they're as cute as they can be. You kind of like steal your show there.
A little show off. A little bit of show off.
So I'm glad they have them here today. And y'all too. It's good to see them. Good to see smiling faces, no matter how young they are. If that's all, if everybody's done, let's remember the prayer request. And let's remember the Spurgeon family also. Don, would you dismiss us until 11 o'clock?
Most of all, we pray, Lord, that you might put them in a full bit.